Yeah, some of you on, well, a couple of you on Friday night went to the Middleton production, and Joel was the he's got a role in the senior production, even though he's not in senior school, and he did so well. So we was just so proud of him. It was really cool, actually. I didn't go. I'm seeing it next week, but I've heard such good stories about it. So it's really awesome. Hey, well, thank you very much, Wes, and Janet, for the opportunity to speak this morning. And last week we gave a notice and we said that this morning we wanted to just speak into the business environment at the moment. And we don't just want to speak to business people this morning, because if you, actually, hands up, who's in business here? Man, it's actually quite a lot. Kingdom business, yeah. There's actually a lot of you are actively involved in some form of business, but we just want to speak to wider than that as well. And I hope you're going to be really blessed. I hope this morning really ministers to every heart in the house here. So I just want to quickly take you down memories lane for a minute, okay? So I was brought up Christian in a Christian family, which was an incredible blessing. Is his mum here this morning? Oh, mum and dad are down here. Hi, nice to see you both. Mum's fresh back from Canada. Dad's doing good. So good. Thank you guys for coming. That's really awesome, eh? So I was brought up in a Christian household in the 80s. And so mum and dad introduced us to Christian music. And I'll never forget one day I came home and dad had the stereo cranking loud. And it was Keith Green. And I'd never heard Keith Green before. Now, if you're under the age of 30, you're going, who's Keith Green? Who doesn't know who Keith Green is? Oh, I'm sorry for you guys. I feel sorry for you. But anyway, Keith Green was kind of like he was one of the real forerunners of contemporary Christian music. And so I remember Dad cranking the Lord is My Shepherd album. Well, no, sorry, Songs for the Shepherd. And in that album, who remembers it? Yeah, it's pretty good, eh? Pretty good. So Dad had that cranking, and I walked in, and so I got introduced to Keith Green by Dad. And I can't remember who, I think it was Courtney Cooper might have given you that album from memory. Yeah, so it was vinyl. I'm thinking, was it vinyl or a tape? I can't remember. I think it was vinyl, actually. Can you remember the smell of vinyl? Yeah. Just had a little smell, didn't it? Rich is not... No, it did. Vinyl has a smell, okay? Not that I've played a vinyl for a while. But another amazing memory for me for Keith Green was the King's College Hall, where we used to have church, Grant on the piano. And man, Grant can play Keith Green, I tell you what.
Come on.
No, I won't put you on the spot. You'd totally be able to do it, yeah. Man, Grant can do Keith Green like you've never heard. So I can remember Scott and I used to, when we were young, we worshiped lead at church, back when we were in the King's College Hall. It's pretty small compared to this room. And we would go down, and sometimes Grant would be down there, and he was just playing. And remember the old hall? And Grant was just playing, and I remember the Keith Green, and Scott and I would just sit there, and we'd just be like, wow, yeah. And I don't know, when I see Grant or anyone playing, I'm like, what's that magic that you do there? It's an incredible way. And so that song, the Lord is, he sang that song in that Songs for the Shepherd album. There's a song called The Lord is My Shepherd. And that's one of, I love that song. It's a song that's burned into my heart. And of course, Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd, is probably one of the most famous bits of scripture in the whole Bible. We probably, if you've been around a wee while, you probably know it. And it's probably spoken to you over the years. And I was going to try, I couldn't quite make this work, but on the front of the album, the Keith Green album, Songs for the Shepherd, they had a picture of Keith Green, and he had a lamb over his shoulder. See, you guys can remember. So good. He had a lamb over his shoulder, and he was carrying this lamb. And I love that picture. I love that picture. Because it kind of reflects what a shepherd would have been like back in the old days. In the days when David was a shepherd. So we've got this funny image of sheep and shepherding, if you want to call it, in New Zealand, because we have a completely different way of shepherding in current New Zealand farming practices than they had back in the, whenever it was, BC, in David's day. So as a kid, again, we were sometimes going, we went on family holidays, which is really cool. And can any of you ever remember driving to a family holiday, and you're driving down a country road because you're going to a little small town or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden you come around a corner and you have to stop because there's a massive flock of sheep. Who hasn't experienced that? It's kind of cool, eh? I don't know. I haven't actually had that happen for a while, but we drove one. I can remember driving in just massive amounts of sheep. And so the shepherd, when we have flocks in New Zealand, there's hundreds and maybe even thousands, and you had to sit in your car or drive really slowly because you didn't want to run them over. And then there'd be like a guy in a motorbike, there'd be a guy in a Hilux ute. Yeah, there's always a Hilux ute. And the dogs were barking because they were telling the sheep where to go. And and then maybe there was a can of spates somewhere, probably. If there was a... But when we think about sheep, how we look after sheep in New Zealand, it's so different to the way they looked after sheep in Israel when David was a shepherd. So, I mean, have you ever been in a shearing shed? Yeah. Once we went, one of our family holidays, we actually stayed on a farm. We had a thing called a farm stay, or we went on a farm stay, which is really cool. We actually got to stay. Now, some of you, again, if you're old like me, there I said it. I'm old. I'm older. But we actually stayed at Robbie and Bruce Deans' farm. Anyone think that's pretty cool?
Yeah.
That was actually amazing. And so me and Scott were probably in about Form 1 or Form 2. Again, showing my age. Yes. Is that 6 and 7? Yeah, 6 and 7. But anyway, so they invited us, because they knew we were staying, and they invited us to go into the shearing shed. And basically, we hung out with Robbie and Bruce Deans for like a couple of days. How cool was that, man? In case you didn't know, they're all blacks. So that was very cool. But then, you know what they do when they get those sheep? They grab the sheep, and if they're going to shear it, they pull it in, they jam it between their legs, and man, they do it fast. And, they're crutching it, and then some of the other practices, they have to drench them, and they're pulling things across, and the sheep are running through. It's quite hard on the sheep. And then the lambs, you know what they do to the lambs? They put those little rings on them, and they castrate them. Man, it's the way we treat sheep today is so different to David, who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." So in David's day, they had much smaller flocks, maybe about 100 or so. And in those flocks, the sheep actually knew the shepherd, and the shepherd knew the sheep. And then so the shepherd would actually attend to the sheep's needs. Because each day he would, I've read this book, and what would happen was the sheep would... What would actually happen was, as the shepherd was leading the sheep around to the place where they're going to get fed, where there was the feed, one sheep at a time, during the day, one sheep would come up to the shepherd for a little, just a little rub, and the shepherd would rub it, and then it would go back to where it was, and then another one would come up. And so the shepherd actually knew the sheep, and the sheep knew the shepherd. And there was actually like love, if you want to call it that, between the shepherd and the sheep. And the shepherd would protect the sheep from the lions, the bears, thieves. It's pretty cool. And we know about David, how he was trained in those fields to become the king of Israel by looking after those sheep, which is actually pretty amazing. So he would have got to know the personality, the little quirks of the sheep, their habits, their tendencies, their weaknesses, their strengths. If sheep have weaknesses and strengths, maybe that's going a little too far. But if we're part of the family of faith, God's family, God places shepherds in our lives, and we've got incredible shepherds right here. Wes and Janet have been amazing shepherds in my life and in the lives of many of you guys here. Very cool, actually. And like David of old, God brings shepherds into our life, and he actually is our great shepherd, which is incredible. It's amazing that we have shepherds around us, people that God places beside us, that lead us, but the great shepherd, our great shepherd, is the Lord. So like David, Psalm 23, we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Some versions say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not lack anything." So when you hear that, how do you relate to that verse? Some of you, that can be a real confident statement of experience, that the Lord is my shepherd. I have not ever been in want. But some of you, maybe in today's environment, last few years have been pretty tough. Can you confidently say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in lack. This is something that's a bit sensitive, okay? Because this verse touches on one of the issues of our life, and it touches on our provision. And let's just get it real practical, financial provision. Whew, that got quiet, because it's a bit funny to talk about financial provision in church, isn't it? We don't do it a heck of a lot. But I think it's actually really good. So I want to talk this morning about God's provision in two places. I want to talk about his provision in your personal life. And then also, really specifically, we as an oversight team, we really felt that there was something on speaking into provision to business owners in the current economic environment as well. Is that okay? Doesn't matter if it's not anyway, we're going to keep going. But so, again, with real sensitivity and humility, I don't just say this lightly, that there has been probably real challenges for many people in this room over the last couple of years, economically, financially. Money's been tough. We've all heard about the cost of living crisis. Look, there's probably maybe 200 people in this room, there'll be 200 various circumstances. Each circumstance will be different. But we've all noticed there's commonalities for all of us that when we go to the supermarket, wow, last couple of years, things are different. It's been, you know, even if you went 3 years ago and saw the prices 3 years ago and you saw the prices now, things have changed. This is real, isn't it? It's real. If you go to the petrol station, well, that sort of goes up and down a wee bit. I don't know about you guys. Jackie and I pay for some insurances. Has anyone noticed your insurances have gone up? Man, things have really gone up. So, and everyone in this room will relate differently to, or will have a different impact from that situation. And that, I guess, the cost of living crisis. But I can confidently say this, that God does not want you to be in lack. And I can say that because of what he's revealed in the Word and because of his revealed character to us. You know, God has got, there's many aspects to the character of God. And, you know, we talk about these, Wes preaches about it, and lots of people preach about it. But one of his key attributes is that he is a provider. He is a provider. Man, let that sink in. So our Heavenly Father, our provider, our shepherd, knows your needs. And I can stand here and say he knows how to provide for you. And then maybe if you've got a pen and paper, or I don't know how you take notes these days, man, there's a lot of verses that I want to sort of just really quickly skim through. But Psalm 50 verse 12, and you'll know these if you've been around a wee while. If you haven't been in church for a long time, well, for ages, these might be new verses. But Psalm 50 verse 12 said he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And it is a psalm, and psalms are poetic and everything, but it reveals a truth that God is not short of resources. Literally everything is his. And look, if you just think about human life, God has provided incredibly abundantly for human life on our planet. We all breathe oxygen. Man, there's more than enough oxygen for us to go around. There's incredible fertility in the soil to produce food. There's more than enough food for the people on the earth. How it gets distributed is another whole thing. He brings rain in time. Yeah, there's lots of rain. There's seasons. There's life in seas. There's fruit plants. There's livestock. There's resources in the ground. There's minerals. There's metals. There's ideas. There's the ability to work. He gives us strengths, talents, and gifts. Man, God provides for us so that we can be well provided for. And he wants to show himself to all of us, maybe in a greater way this morning, as our provider. And so maybe it's something you haven't thought about for a while, that he is your provider. And maybe it's something that you're very conscious of at the moment. Again, 200 people, 200 different circumstances, we'll all be in a different place. But I shall not lack because the Lord is my shepherd. That's a great little verse to have going around in your mind if you need to hear that. So how confident are you that he knows your needs and that he will meet your needs? Is this all right? It's not too, it's not too, too real. Look, there's so many verses. Philippians 4 verse 19 says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And sometimes there's one thing to know the verse, but sometimes we've got to experience it as well. But he knows your situation. But he also, if you are in a situation at the moment, he wants you to bring that situation to him because he is your shepherd. And sometimes we just struggle along and we forget to bring our situations to the Lord. Have you ever done that? You've like struggled along and realized, I haven't actually brought this to the Lord. Oh, it must only be me. Sometimes I do that. I do that, eh? Sometimes we forget to bring our situations to the Lord. So this morning, if you are looking at your finances in this cost of living crisis that the media talks about, and we are experiencing, maybe it's time to bring it to the Lord in a new way and look to him as your provider in a new way. And we'll talk about that a bit more practically as we sort of move on as well. In Matthew 6, verse 38, I'll quickly read a couple of scriptures. I've got an old school Bible, paper one. I love my paper Bible. Matthew 6, verse 38. Oh, have I got the right? Maybe I've got the right verse. Sorry, oh no. But basically, he says he knows your needs before you even bring them to him. So we can bring our needs to the Lord. Sorry, I've written down the wrong verse. But he actually knows your needs even before we bring them to him. He's aware of your situation. That's really cool. Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. And that actually includes your finances as well. But it's hard, if you're in a moment with your finances, man, it can be hard not to be anxious about it. That's being real there. But do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your requests to God. If you ever need a request in your finances, bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. And this morning it's a reminder to bring this to the Lord. And then Matthew 6, verse 19, of course, is the Lord's Prayer. Now, this is amazing. The disciples say to Jesus, teach us how to pray. So this is Jesus, our Lord. And this is what he says. If you want to learn how to pray, he says, do this, pray this. So he actually makes it really simple. So we need to put weight upon what Jesus, when the disciples say, teach us to pray, and Jesus says, okay, do this, we need to put weight on that. So now, this is amazing. If you break down the Lord's Prayer, it starts off focusing on his name, his kingdom, and his will. Now, when we pray, that's a great pattern to, first of all, look to him and think about him, who he is, his character, his nature. Like I said, his name reveals who he is, his kingdom, what he's doing on earth, and his will, the things that he wants on earth as well. But what's next? Because that's pretty important. We're looking at him, and then the next thing he instructs us in prayer to look at is world peace, wisdom. No. The next thing he said is, what is it? Give us this day our daily bread. So after looking at him, the next thing he instructs us to pray for is for our daily bread. Now that would have been something that if you were thinking, okay, this is how the Lord will lay out how you're to pray, would you have put that the next thing that he wants us to pray for? Or would there be other needs that are more, make other things that seem more important? But the next thing after looking to him is, give us this day our daily bread. He knows we need provision, and he actually wants us to come to him for that provision. I think that's amazing. And so different cultures, you know, in New Zealand or in the Israeli situation, it was bread. So in some situations, it might be, give us this day our daily rice. Give us this day our daily sadza. Give us this day our daily potatoes, corn, fruit, whatever it is. But he knows that we need provision so that we can live. Without that stuff, you don't live very long. He knows. That's a real practical way. So you could say, Lord, we come to you. Lord, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily provision. And you could, I think it's actually okay to even say, Lord, give us our daily financial provision as well. Maybe some of you haven't thought about it that way before, but I think that's totally legitimate. I love, there's songs we sing in church, or there's songs and messages we've heard about, we seek the giver, not the gift. and we seek his face and not his hand. And that's totally appropriate. There's times when we just adore him for who he is, when we look to him and his goodness, when we just declare his greatness. But you know, there are actually times when we actually need to seek what comes from his hand. There's actually time when he would say, come to me and seek me for what I can give. I seek the giver, but also I do seek what comes from your hand, Lord, because I need it. So it's actually okay to have a need, come to him with a need, and ask him to fill that need. Not that we don't seek his, not that we don't just seek him for who he is and we don't just seek his face, but sometimes in a certain circumstance, you might need to seek his hand and what's in his hand, what comes from his hand. Is that all right? So he knows what you need. It matters to him. He is your shepherd, and he is your heavenly father who doesn't want his sons and daughters to be in lack. So if you're in a season where you've been lacking, maybe just the money isn't going like it used to, the budget is stretched, the budget is pressed, chances are it's created anxiety in you. Because when your provision gets pushed, it does, it creates anxiety. And that's not a thing we talk about a lot. But it's true. It's true, man. If you know that you've got X amount of bills and the resources don't meet the bills, that creates anxiety. It's pretty real. Pretty real. So what do we do with that? So 1 Peter 5:7. Again, there's instructions on how to deal with this. Cast your care upon the Lord. The things that you care about, the things that are causing you anxiety, cast that upon the Lord because he cares for you. So if your finances are causing you anxiety, cast the care of that upon your shepherd, your provider, because he cares for you. So our finances and our provision create a level of security in our life. Let's be honest, I place a degree or quite a lot of security on the level of provision in my life. So when that's challenged, it creates insecurity, or it can create insecurity. And for some people, it's created insecurity in the last couple of years. And you've probably heard people, you've talked to people, and they are actually anxious about that. So if your money's going all right, sometimes I'm okay. It's all good. But then when their money is not going so good, oh man, it can create a response, an emotional internal response that and bring a feeling of insecurity. It's pretty real, eh? And look, I understand this. I understand that to a certain degree. I've been made redundant. I've lived in constant overdraft. That's not my current situation, but I've had those things happen to me. When I got made redundant, it was an awful experience. And I don't know, maybe some of you in this room have been made redundant in the last wee while, and you're looking for work, I don't know. But guess what? God does not want you to live in lack, because it doesn't align with his nature. It's not because it's a positive thing to say, it's because lack does not align with his nature and his heart towards you. And if you live in lack long enough, and I don't know, this might speak to someone, it actually can affect the way you see yourself and the value that you actually place on yourself. And that's getting a wee bit deep again as well. I don't know if that's maybe too deep for Sunday morning. And if you don't have a healthy view of yourself, a healthy view of the value of yourself, you can make decisions that negatively affect the direction of your life. So we need to see ourselves as God would see us, his identity, his calling upon us, so that we can make decisions that line up with his value, his identity on us, not a reduced view of how we see ourselves. Because if we make decisions that reflect a low sense of self-worth and a low sense of identity, those decisions are going to restrict your life and limit the ability for you to realize the potential that God has placed in your life. And can I really challenge you in your relationship? Maybe there's even in relationships. Some of you If you don't see yourself of great value, you might choose to be in relationships where people don't treat you with great value. And I know that's a really sensitive thing to say. Our Heavenly Father wants us to make decisions in our lives that line up with the identity and calling that are on our lives from Him. So we know the scriptures that we should live by, Lord. There's, you know, Proverbs 3, verse 5, 6. I've memorized this verse. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. So we know that we should trust the Lord, and we know we should trust the Lord even in our finances. And there's some of you right now that you are trusting the Lord in your finances. And that's amazing. God wants to encourage you to keep trusting Him. But man, Joyce Meyer said something about trust that really rocked my world. She said, trust requires unanswered questions. So if you know the answer to something, you don't need to trust it. You don't have to have trust. But if you're going to have trust in something, you actually are not necessarily sure what the outcome is going to be. So trust requires unanswered questions. I don't like unanswered questions. Personally, I like to know what's happening. I like to know how something's going to work out. But we can trust God because of His attributes, because of His nature, because of what He's revealed Himself to us, what He's revealed Himself in here. So we can trust Him because of who He is and who He's revealed Himself to be. So God wants to reassure you that He knows this morning, He wants to reassure you that He knows your financial situation, if you're in one. And if you're in a time of financial uncertainty, you can rely upon Him, and He wants you to bring that need, that circumstance to Him this morning. I just want to read you something. Oh, I might have to tie that lace up in a second. Remember this book, Ken? Ken gave this to Mum and Dad, and I've loved this little book. So this is basically breaking down the Lord's Prayer. It breaks down Psalm 23. So this is an amazing little story about provision. Immediately after World War II, the Allied armies gathered up many hungry, homeless children and placed them in large camps. There the children were abundantly fed and cared for. However, at night they did not sleep well. They seemed restless and afraid. Finally, a psychologist hit upon a solution. After the children were put to bed, they each received a slice of bread to hold. If they wanted more to eat, more was provided, but this particular slice was not to be eaten, it was just to hold. The slice of bread produced marvelous results. The child would go to sleep, subconsciously feeling it would have something to eat tomorrow. That assurance gave the child a calm and peaceful rest. In the 23rd Psalm, David points out something of the same feeling in the sheep when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now listen to this. Instinctively, the sheep knows the shepherd has made plans for his grazing tomorrow. He knows the shepherd has made ample provision for it today, so he will tomorrow. So the sheep lies down in its fold with, figuratively speaking, a piece of bread in its hand. Isn't that amazing? Do we have that sense that God provided for us today? He will provide for me tomorrow. I love it. I reckon it's incredible. I mean, there's so many incredible stories of provision in the Bible. I'm just going to quickly really scoot through these. You know, in Exodus 16, God provided for 2 million people every day manna. I don't know how many years He did that for. God provided for 2 million people, the whole of the children of Israel, when they needed it. 40 years, amazing. Abraham, God provided a ram right when he needed it, so he didn't have to sacrifice his son. Genesis 22. Elisha, there was a widow who was about to die and her son, and God provided oil for her. In fact, God provided the jars that she had, the more jars she brought, God filled all of the jars that she brought with oil. She sold that oil, and she was able to live with her and her son from the money. That's in 2 Kings 4. Elijah was brought, basically Elijah went beside a brook, and God fed him by ravens. They brought meat and bread to him every day, morning and night. Incredible provision. Jesus actually arranged for someone's taxes to be paid by putting a coin in a fish's mouth. It's not like a myth. That actually happened. And then there's the feeding of the 5,000 people, and then there's also after that, there's a feeding of the 4,000. I love that. In the feeding of the 5,000, that's in Mark 6. That's actually recorded in all four Gospels. There's not many things that are actually recorded in all of the Gospels. But in Mark 6, there's a couple of things to note. A little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, that's apparently all the food there was. And so to feed 5,000 people, you know, I should have read this. Basically, Jesus says, hey, there's a whole lot of people here. And he says to the disciples, will you feed them? They're hungry. And they go, well, how the heck are we going to do that? And then someone says, well, I've looked around and there's 5 loaves over here and there's 2 fishes over here. But how the heck, how would that feed that number of people? And basically, we know the story that Jesus was able to take the little and feed a whole lot of people. But there's things to note here. The 5 fishes and the 2 loaves didn't seem enough. Like, there's no way that could feed 5,000 people. So the resources at hand didn't seem as though they were enough to get everyone through. So what did Jesus do? He gave thanks for what he had. He gave thanks for what he took it. He gave thanks for it. What was in his hand, he gave thanks for it. Thanks to the Father, and he broke it. And then he started doing something with it. He then started distributing it. So maybe you need to look at what's in your hands. And even if it doesn't seem like enough, give thanks to God for what we do have. And then think, what can I do to start? What can I do with what is in my hand right now? And maybe God will start the provision. The provision wouldn't have started until they started moving that bread out. If Jesus only held it, I don't think there would have been a miraculous provision, but Jesus had to do something with it after he'd given thanks for what he had. Now, I want to think there's some things here that hopefully will really help shift your mind, or maybe shift some minds, a bit of a mindset thing here. So if I go to Deuteronomy 28, and I'm going to read this. These are the blessings. God wants to bless you. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in lack. So listen to this. You can declare this over. I've gone through a season of declaring this into my life. If you've got a key, you should use it. Imagine having a key and not using it to unlock a door or whatever it is. So Deuteronomy 28 says, and speak this over your life. You might say, hey, there's a key here. I want to start speaking this over my life. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock. That talks about the economy of the day. The calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. That's probably the food they had for that day. Blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee from you in 7. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. If you're in business, the Lord will bless what you put your hands to. I think that's an incredible thing to say. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, and the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. And I love this. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season to bless all the work of your hands. And it goes on, but I love that. He will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless the work of your hands. And I'm going to just, sorry, I was going to try and make this work. This is my fault, it didn't. So I'm going to read. So how practically you can speak Deuteronomy 28 over your life. How can God bless me? You know, because some of us, you know, maybe most people here or some people here have a set income because you have a job that pays this much, or you have provision coming from this much, you're on the pension and it's this much. How can God bless me? I really love the Bethel Church offering readings. Has anyone heard them? Now, man, these are powerful. I'm going to read this over you. So this will hopefully open your mind. Practically, how could God do something different in my life? Sorry about my laces here, that looks ridiculous. Okay, offering reading one. So when they take the offerings, they read this. As we receive today's offering, we are believing, and we're not going to take up the offering now, but we are believing for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreasing, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs that I may have more than enough to give to the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. How good is that? How good is that? And does that just open your mind? And it's only just a fraction. It just opens a door, a crack of how God could bring increase into your life. And how's he going to bring increase to your life? Well, that's something you need to ask him about. I'll read you another one. Actually, I'll read the next one. Offering reading three. This is so cool because this links. Well, as we pray for wells of revival, we pray for new economic wells in Christchurch. It talks about reading, obviously, for the Bethel Church, but to be created. So, Lord, we ask you for a favor for our city with CEOs, government leaders and kings, manufacturing firms that produce goods for the nation to provide new jobs for our people, technology to establish new markets, energy resources and efficient solutions to grow as a population, law and courts that measure with the justice and the freedom of our land's constitution, civil servants that encourage entrepreneurs and a media known for wisdom and truth, natural resources released, harvested, sold and reproduced, education, books and universities that develop mind molders who influence the influential, capital to build small businesses and provide service, arts and culture affecting both young and old, medical community known for integrity and excellence. Repentance from poverty, small thinking and envy, and courage to recognize opportunities to make wealth, abundance to bless the world, and the prudence to save and invest. Relation to pass on wealth to our children's children, so we declare that when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. How good. So these are online. That's the Bethel Church website. You just Google Bethel offering readings. That's number one and two I read out. There's number one and three. I reckon that's really encouraging, eh? I feel really encouraged by that. And hopefully that some of you will be encouraged by that as well. So a year ago, Jackie and I had a dinner with a business couple. And it was just through a connection through church, actually. And sometimes, have you ever met people and you know they're way above your level? Yeah. So, I mean, Jackie and I, we have a business. We have a comparatively small business. But this guy had a business in Auckland. And just to give you the context, we didn't realize who we're sitting with. So right now, a year ago, this wasn't happening, but in a year, God has done something with this man's life that he is now mining gold in cooperation with the government of a nation in a continent that's not ours. So God, and how this has happened through God connecting him, and he's been able to release connections and resources to this nation that the government has recognized he is doing something that's going to bless our nation. But he gave Jackie and I three keys. And as we sort of talked about this at Overside a while ago, and we really feel as though there's keys for you guys here. So we want to give you the keys that he released to us, because there's three things that he encouraged Jackie and I to pray against. And he said, Christian people in business and Christian people need to pray against three things, and we're going to talk about that really quickly, and then we're going to pray that. Because we want to minister to business people, because in a minute we're going to get anyone who's in business. Now, we're not saying whether you're finding things tough or easy or whatever it is, because some sectors of the economy are actually doing really well. Some are struggling. So we want any business owner to come up here, and then we're going to have a time when we're going to pray for business owners, and there's some prophetic people. There may be words flowing. Who knows? But we just want to get business owners up here, and we just want to stand with you and bless you, and we want to pray these things. And I'm just going to quickly lay out what those things are. He talked a lot about praying in tongues. This guy had spirit life around him. Like, man, he had real spirit life. After the meeting, you know, when you meet someone and there's spirit life, you come away from having met with them and you feel energized. I remember once that happened with Joe Miller. Once she spoke at the 24/7 group back in the day, the next morning, she came to our house and spoke. The next morning, I could feel, this is so weird, I could feel her words in the room the next morning. So you know how some people just carry spirit life in their words? Now, there was spirit life on what he shared with us. So I'm going to give you these keys this morning. So then this is my recollection of it. I didn't record it, but I wrote down after the meeting. So he said, Christians in business need to pray against three things over their businesses, their lives, and their families. The first one is debt. The second one was a recession. And the third one was repossession. So I've taken those things and then how he laid, and I'll just say a bit more about them. But here's what it's looked like for me as I've prayed that into my life. Debt. He said that we should owe no man anything but love, and that we'll be the servants of no one, because when you're in debt, you are a servant to the person that you've borrowed from. So I would not need to take out loans to keep operating. And it's a spiritual thing, because he's saying these are spiritual things to pray against, and I'd only owe the debt of love. So I would declare that I will have no debt in my life, my family, or my business. Declare that into your life. The second one was recession. And now he was implying there's a spirit over our nation of recession, of the national economic situation that wants to shrink, to reduce things, to minimize, to limit, and to pull back from opportunities. So he just said, declare that there'll be no lack of resources in your life, your family, or your business. Recession wants to make you pull back, shrink, reduce, and be smaller than what you were. Recession shrinks an economy, makes it smaller, it doesn't grow an economy. And then the third one, and this is the one that I really felt there's something on for people here, and this repossession. Now, when you think of repossession, we've all seen movies where the big guys came to the front door and said, we're going to take your car away because they haven't taken your car payment or something. But that's not what it's talking about. He's talking here about repossession is where something that was yours, something that was assigned to you, something that has been promised to you, has been taken away. So there's a spirit that actually wants to come and things that have been assigned, promised, or given to you. There's a spirit of repossession wants to take what is actually yours and take it away from you. So declare that I will have no repossession in my life, my family, or my business. So that works for business owners and also if you're not in business as well, because we don't want things that are called to be ours taken away from us. But if we went around this room, I guarantee you there'd be stories of people who know they've been robbed of things that should have been theirs. That's the spirit of repossession, so we want to come against that. So as I've prayed these things, what I've been doing is I've been binding a spirit of debt, binding a spirit of recession, and binding a spirit of repossession over my family, my life, and my business. And what I do is I loose workflow. I've been saying, God, I release the workflow that you have for me. I release the resources that you have for me, contracts you have for me, things that have been assigned to my business in heaven. So I'm not interested in stuff that God hasn't assigned to me. I want the things that God has assigned to me not to be taken away from me because of the economic environment or whatever it is at this time. And so God has assigned some things for you. He's assigned provision for you. And in this day, God wants that not to be taken from you. Is that all right? So what I want to do is I want to get all the business owners. Actually, Wes, you want to come up as well? Because Wes and I have talked about this a little. Wes is going to pray as well. We just want to pray over everyone who's in business. Actually, does everyone want to stand up? Now, I realize that talking about provision and finance, there's so many different circumstances in this room, and there'll be so many different responses to what I've said this morning. Some people, this will actually cause a lot of, that could cause a lot of pain because, I'm in a tough situation. But maybe there's some keys this morning that you've heard that might help you unlock a situation or open a door or help you think differently about the situation that you find yourself in. So I hope that's all right. Yeah. So Wes, how do we do this, Wes?
Done really well. You're really well. So what we're going to do, get back here, come on up now.
All the business owners, up here. The people who put their hand up before. Yeah. And look, as an oversight team, we have heard, there's this very, we've heard little stories of people who are finding things tough. And we're not saying that's everybody, But we want to stand with you this morning. We want to stand with you. We want to release blessing over you.
Move right close to the front because there's people up behind you. Very good. Excellent. Just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. You know, that's good. And that's excellent. Yeah. Yeah, excellent. So there's three things we're going to we're going to pray generally, aren't we, Craig?
Yep.
And
absolutely.
Then we're going to pray into those three areas of Craig mentioned. How many people here were raised in a religious setting where poverty was almost considered more spiritual than abundance or wealth or anything like that? How many people? There was quite a few of us raised in that kind of setting, and people might call that the poverty gospel. Then, of course, we have what we call the prosperity gospel, where some people may have taken that to a bit of an extreme as well in various settings. But what Craig has outlined today is just the fundamentals, really, of the nature of God for his people.
Yes, sir.
And some of the things that God has just basically told us to ask for. And so we're just going to line up with that, aren't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep, for sure.
So Father, right
yeah,
now,
Jesus, things, thank you, Lord.
Do you want to pray first, then I pray?
I'll just pray for you. Yeah, okay. Absolutely, Lord.
Father, we just thank you right now for all these people that are operating Jesus. Or are in business. Of
yes, thank you, Lord.
Father, right now, we declare that there is prosperity over the earth.
Yeah.
Lord, we align ourselves with kingdom prosperity.
Yes, Jesus.
We help along the way. Lord, your word says in Deuteronomy 28, for those who are obedient to you, and we're obedient to you in Christ, and we're yes. righteous in Christ, that you will bless what we put our hands to. So, Father, right now, all of these people have put their hands to some form of business. So, right now, our expectation is that
Jesus.
There will be blessing flow into their business.
Yes.
That what they
yes.
put their hands to will prosper.
Yeah.
I make you pray out to me, every one of
yes.
you. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
This business, this activity that I put my hands to, I align myself
yeah,
with
thank
your, word,
you, Lord.
And I declare that you bless what I've put my hands to. I thank you for increase. I thank you for new contract. I thank you for great employees.
Yes, Jesus.
I thank you for open doors. I thank you for witty inventions. I thank you for customers. You are warm to me and suddenly hear my name or see my name.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Be drawn to me. I thank you, Lord, for good integrity and wisdom.
Yes, Jesus.
Into my mind, into my heart, to know how to work with you and this business. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we break all agreement with poverty and the spirit of poverty. In Jesus' name, I thank you that no spirit of repossession will touch my business
yeah. Amen.
Or my family
yes.
or my calling. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
All that you intend
thank
for
you,
me
Lord.
To have and my family to have, we will be receiving because it is your will. Right now, we break the power of the spirit of recession.
Yes, Jesus.
There is no
thank you,
recession
Lord.
In the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, amen.
So we break agreement that I will suffer recession in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And we speak abundance. We speak provision. We speak release in Jesus' name.
Yes.
What was the other one, Craig?
Debt.
Debt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now,
Jesus.
We resist
yes.
the temptation to get into the kind of debt that is binding and robbing in Jesus' name. We ask you for the provision to be able to resist the temptation of indebtedness in Jesus' name. We thank you now. For provision to pay off debts and overdraft that have been trying to sap our profit and our operational budget. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Right now, in the name of Jesus,
yes, Jesus.
I release kingdom prosperity.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Over every business, over every
Shurabasika rababa shibararanda. Mora baba kasabara baba 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 shabaranda. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, shira baba bashir bebeanda. Yeah, baba basirianda.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just ask right now, you bring shift into every situation that needs it. Lord, that you would shift us from the, if we are under any spirit, Lord, that is not a spirit that you would have from us. We just speak shift in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you would shift us to where you want us to be. Lord, in our individual finances, Lord, in our business finances, Lord, in our economic situations, we declare shift to where you want us to be, Lord, that we'll be positioned as you would call us, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we just ask for your strength, your blessing to be upon everyone who's heard this morning. Lord, we thank you for the keys, Lord, that you've given us. We ask that you would inspire us, Lord, that you give us inspiration, Lord, to go tomorrow, Lord, and speak differently, to think differently, and to receive differently. Lord, help us to receive your blessing. Help us to receive your provision. Help us to be good at receiving, Lord, as well as giving. But we thank you, Lord. Help us to be receivers of your blessing, Lord. And we receive right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Whoa.